Cleaning Nation. It is time to have some fun, soak up some wisdom, and give you everything you need to grow your cleaning company. Do you love the show? Is your life better as a member of Cleaning Nation? If you want us to keep cranking out all the good stuff, show us a little love on iTunes with a 5-star rating review. Tell your friends, tell your families. Of course, if you hate the show, just stop listening. Anyway, all that to say, today we are chatting with return guest Pete Boland from Oracle Building Maintenance. Oracle serves the Saskatchewan and Manitoba area with commercial cleaning services. So we've got our neighbors to the north. If you want to reach out to Pete and his team, you can hold them at www.oraclebm, I'm assuming for building maintenance, oraclebm.ca for Canada. Pete, welcome to the show. Welcome back.
Hello.
Glad to have you. I think it's been about a year since we had you on, no?
Yeah, absolutely. I believe my video is up on YouTube March 30th.
Last year. Look at you and your bad self. I didn't even know that. I think Pete had to find it for me. He asked me when he came on. I'm like, I have no clue, man. So give us a little update for the folks that haven't heard your previous episode. Just give us a little about you and your company, what you do. And then for the folks that are going to go back and listen to the, you know, kind of do these in order and listen to the first one, give us an update of what's happened since we spoke last.
Yeah, absolutely. We are a commercial cleaning business, so we don't do any residential. Our strengths and skills are 110% in client acquisition and servicing clients. You know, giving clients everything that they need above and beyond even the overall aspect of cleaning the business. As well as we are obviously masters at cleaning and building. As of right now, man, when we were talking last year, I believe we were doing about 2 million sales. This year, we will crank out 4 million. So our company has doubled in size, over 150 cleaners, sales guys in every city. I can honestly say it was by far the best year we've ever had. And we're looking forward really to the pretty much 2018 that we're going to do 8 million. So I'm excited. I'm really excited to be on as well too. Thank you.
That is awesome. And I got to say, we've got people that go from, you know, 200,000 to 400,000 or half a million to a million. And those are awesome, not to take away from those achievements at all. But man, when you can grow from 2 to 4 million, that's a big deal. And good Lord, if you grow from 4 to 8, we'll definitely have you on again, because that now you're getting into ridiculous territory. And you know, just full disclosure, Cleaning Nation, I'm guessing that Pete's success has, you know, less than 87% to do with being on the podcast. Is, you know, probably maybe in the 50s. Fair.
Sure, somewhere around there.
Poor Pete. He's working his tail off out there to build a business. I'm trying to take credit. Well, awesome. Before we move on to the coaching, I always love to, anytime I've got an interesting story, I love to share kind of, or allow guests to share what, you know, going from 2 to 4 million, what do you think the top couple things that you've done that have allowed you to do that?
To be honest, we systemized the sales process, right? So the first thing that we did is we found out what was working and what wasn't working. We hired salespeople in individual cities. We have a lion's den inside of our office with a call center, as well to book estimates for our clients. We have daily sales meetings with all of our guys. So that's really what resulted in the ability to grow and acquire new contracts. What has really helped in keeping those contracts is we have programs set in place for our staff to watch when they get hired, onboarding, and our training and application forms for when they do inspections, fill them out to make sure everything's going great with the facility. So there's been a lot of huge things that we've implemented. So it really has to just be, we systematize everything.
Gosh, yeah, that was going to be the summary I heard, is systems, systems, and more systems, whether it comes to getting customers, keeping customers, getting employees, keeping employees. We've all got systems to do that. It's just most of the time they're not written down and they're not on purpose. It's just the crap we kind of do on accident. Sounds like you've taken the time to write it down and make them the systems that are the most effective, not the ones that we default to.
Yeah, I have to say it was extremely hard. I'm an ADD kid, so it was a lot of bouncing around between systems and systems until I got it all done.
Yeah, and it's really tough because most of the time, especially when you start getting into the major systems, they touch each other. So you can't deal with the marketing side without addressing the sales side, which you can't do with until you address the production side, which you can't. So they all kind of touch each other, and it's hard to kind of do one to completion in a vacuum because they're all integrated and interrelated.
Yeah, you know, the first thing we obviously did was the sales side of it. That was the first one. I mean, we could implement as much system side of it for cleaning as we want, but unless we have customers, you know what I mean, no cleaners need to go through it, right? So the second we got the customers, we realized we had another problem, which was our cleaning wasn't as good as we wanted it to be, so we systematized everything for training them, and then our cleaning spiked through the roof, and then we created programs for our managers to make sure that they're inspecting correctly.
Man, sounds like a guy that's almost doing a few things on purpose. Well said, man. I love that thought process you just laid out for us.
Absolutely.
All right, cool. Well, instead of mooching all the good stuff off of you, how can I be of service today? What's going on in your world that you'd like to see even better?
Yeah, you know what? The number one thing that tends to elude me, you can say, or something that I'd like to work better on, we do a little bit of it, and that's essentially funnels and automation of emails. There seems to be so much noise and chatter on the internet with what you should do to really create an effective email or effective funnel. What I'd really like to know is what's a good process somebody should go through for an email, and what's a really good response rate for email marketing, for the editorial industry at least.
Great questions. And just for the benefit of Cleaning Nation, I'm going to answer a question you didn't ask first, and then we'll hit the one that you did ask. I like that you have your process down pat. A lot of people just want to be digital marketers. And depending on the market you're in, if you're like in an LA or a New York or Atlanta or some of the I don't know what the equivalent would be in Canada, but there's markets where there's so many new people coming in all the time, you can just kind of do that digital marketing email, just automated, not have a sales force and build a real business. So not knocking that, but I will say, I think absolutely the trifecta is doing what Pete's doing, where he's got a sales staff, he's got other things, and he's using digital marketing or an automated sales or marketing process to augment his kind of brick and mortar, feet on the ground, eyeball to eyeball business. So I just, A, want to kind of tell you that you're absolutely on the right track, and B, encourage Cleaning Nation not just to be like, oh, I just want to make a nice funnel and then I'm going to grow a multi-million dollar business just on that funnel. Any thoughts or feedback on that before we move on, Pete?
No, that was, no, not at all. I like where it's going so far. So
okay. Cool. Yeah. So step one, Pete's already done, is have a real grasp on who your customers are, what they want, have a sales force in place, and then automate and supercharge that process that you've got in place with email marketing or funnel marketing or automated marketing, as opposed to just assuming that any of those three or a combination of those three is going to build a business in and of itself, because it can, but it's not. It's the exception, not the rule. Okay. That said, just a couple bits of information I'll need so I know where you're at. What kind of a list do you have now in terms of people that have opted in and said, yes, I'd like to receive, you know, I'd like more information from you via email?
Great. So there's really a twofold to it. One is we purchase lists of all the businesses in our area with 10 employees or more to make sure that they qualify for actually needing a janitorial service. Once a list is purchased, everything's loaded into an Infusionsoft dialer, right? We use TurboDialer to dial off of it, which is an application extra for Infusionsoft, but we get all of our emails strictly from our lead generation for cold call.
Okay, so what I hear you saying is you buy lists, you don't email them. You start, when you buy the list, you use those to call. Once you call, then you use email. So you don't start with cold email, you start with cold calling and work towards, and then add that to warm emailing.
Yeah, we'll call, you know what I mean? Let's be honest. 100% of the people are not interested when we call, right? Sure. So the key is to how do we keep top of mind over time so that when they're ready to pull a trigger, they're thinking about Oracle, they're not wondering where we are, right? So
yeah, that's probably one of the
email set up. So we collect the email, put it into our system, and it goes out.
Okay. And that's such a good point, is so many of us want so many of us want to sell when we want to sell, and that's not how it works. The customer's going to buy when he wants to buy, not when we're ready to sell. So I think it's, and we talk about this a lot in the show, you've got to make sure that you've got systems and processes. So you, and again, automated, right? Because you can't possibly, even with all the salespeople in the world, you can't just be on everybody every day. So you do want to automate that process. Okay. That said, so I guess the question there's such a deep topic. We'll kind of go big picture and then we'll move down. The first thing most people want to know about an email marketing funnel is how much too much. Can I email them every day, once a week, once a month? Where are you at with that? How many times are you emailing your folks?
It depends what funnel they're in, to be brutally honest, or automation program. After we've done an estimate for them, obviously it's a lot more aggressive. You know what I mean? We're looking at an onboarding of three right away, and then over a couple of weeks, we got one here or there, videos, gifts that get sent out for tags and stuff. And then if it's just a cold email for information, we usually hit them pretty hard at the beginning, giving them a lot of content and wean off as time goes on. So near the tail end of it, we're looking at roughly every 5 weeks.
Okay. So most frequently at the beginning, depending on which funnel they're in, would be daily. And then least frequently would be every 5 or 6 weeks for people that haven't kind of raised their hand and shown interest. Fair?
Yeah, 100%.
Okay, cool. So first of all, I was going to talk about that later, and Pete hit it now, so we're going to hit it now, segmentation. The right answer was what, and I wasn't looking for that, but when Pete said, I'm like, that is the right answer. It depends on what list. So many people want to treat everybody the same way. It doesn't matter if you are a previous customer, if you just downloaded a lead magnet, if I met you at a trade show, if you're a current customer, if you're a customer that just quit, all of those technically, and again, start slow. Don't expect that you're going to get this tomorrow, but you want to segment. You want to have a different message for the person where they're at. Also, you might have, and again, we're getting real complex, but at least I want to let you know that it's out there. Certainly in the commercial world, if you've got 4 or 5 different verticals that you deal with, each of those verticals are going to have different pain. So if you've got, and I don't know who you do and don't do, Pete, but if you've got a medical facility, the pain that you're going to solve for them and the messaging that you want to convey to them is going to be very different than if you've got a car deal owner of a car dealership or a manager of a car dealership. What he wants out of a cleaning company and the transformation he needs in his world is going to be very different than the medical guy, which is going to be very different than the warehouse manager, then is going to be very different than the property manager that represents other people. So to the degree that you can, and don't get overwhelmed and give up, but you want to move towards that goal of segmentation in two things. One, in niche and vertical, and I don't know if you're doing that or not yet, Pete, but you want to give the manager, or not manager, but whoever's in charge of the facilities at a church, messaging that's relevant to him, just like you want to give the owner of a restaurant or general manager of a restaurant messaging that's relevant to them. So you want to segment by niche in terms of who they are and what their pain is. And the second one that Pete talked about is you want to segment by where they are on the sales cycle. The person that just raised their hand and said, I might be interested, gets a different set and frequency of messaging than the current customer, than the customer that just quit, than the customer that is happy or mad or just referred you or whatever. So you can see that the complexity gets can get to be pretty big. And don't start there. Start with just one funnel, but as soon as possible, you want to start segmenting. Any thoughts or feedback on that before we move on, Pete?
Yeah, I do got one question on it, if that's okay.
Of course.
Right now, we have it segmented into issues. So we have everything segmented into issues. So instead of it being, you know, industry-based, so medical, industrial, whatever, it is really blown down into consistency problems or, you know what I mean, no-show problems, prices, issues, et cetera, et cetera. So would you recommend changing it from problems to industry?
Great point. And again, well, I'm going to answer in terms of, yeah, if we had unlimited time and money, here's what we'd like to do with the understanding we have neither unlimited time nor money. So you made a good point in terms of you've got it segmented by pain, not by niche. So we're getting real specific now. And if I had to pick, I would probably go pain. So as long as, like, if you said no shows is a problem or inconsistency, I don't mind sending an inconsistency email to a restaurant manager and a gym manager, as long as that's a pain that they both have. So I'm okay with you not segmenting by niche, but instead of segmenting by pain, just make sure you're not sending the wrong pain to the wrong customer.
Yeah, just make sure we're not pre-assuming what their issue is.
Yeah, and one of the ways that you can do that, and we go over, I won't go into this deep today, but we go over lead magnets in other podcasts. You have various lead magnets that are going to get response from different people. So if you've got a lead magnet that talks about illegal employees in your building, and someone responds to that, well, guess what? The follow-up email sequence is going to be a lot about illegal employees in your building. So that's, if you're going, well, how do I know what the pain is? Well, you ask them, or you give them lots of different options. And if I get an option of, hey, your cleaner's not showing up and I don't download that, well, I may not be interested in that. But if I do download something having to do with theft in the workplace, or workers' compensation or liability or whatever I download, then obviously you're going to want to customize the email follow-up sequence to them. Man, we are getting super deep. I was going to try and stay kind of a 30,000-foot view, but we're right in the weeds, man. All right, so the big thing I want to say about the timing in terms of, because that's the first question I get asked typically, is how much is too much? Can I do once a week, once twice a week, once a day? And Pete's kind of hit on it a little bit in terms of you're going to start usually a little more aggressive or more frequently at the beginning and then peel off. what I would do is everybody ends up in the same final funnel. So I'd probably have like a monthly or twice a month funnel that everybody that doesn't respond to anything, you still ping them with that. And that's going to be the biggest list that everybody that, you know, maybe you had a segmented thing or they just left and you kind of put them through this sequence or that sequence. Once they're kind of all out of sequences, everybody ends up in the same funnel. So they don't just stop getting communicated with completely. They kind of go into this generic funnel that's not going to be as segmented. It's not going to be as effective. But as long as they don't opt out, you still want to keep emailing them that. So that's the last piece. And that should be, in my opinion, no less than once a month. The reason you get unsubscribes or people don't like you is if it's infrequent. So if they're getting email every couple of weeks, you're still top of mind. But if it goes to 4 to 6 weeks, oftentimes they get an email and like, who's this? Why did I say I don't want this anymore? And they opt out. So in that case, not enough emails can actually bite you in the butt, as opposed to more people think of too many emails will bite you in the butt. So that's on that side of it. In terms of how frequently can I email, the answer is how interesting can you be? Like on YouTube, everyone's like, it's got to be short video, got to be short. You can't have it long. Well, that's just because most people don't have the skill set or the ability to make a long, interesting video. Same with the emails. As long as you're bringing value and the people are looking forward to them, you can literally email them every day and not have any problem. The problem you run into is most people feel like, oh my gosh, I've got to email every day and I'm just going to put some filler out, or I've just got to put quote unquote something out there as opposed to something that's going to bring value. I would encourage you, if that's the case, do less emails that are higher quality, that are actually going to bring value or smile or help or make your customer's life in some way. Do fewer of those and more like, I just got to get something out there. Any thoughts so far, Pete? I know I'm going fast, so I'm going to try and I want to touch base with you every couple minutes.
No, that's more than fine. I mean, the biggest challenge for me when I first started over this, and it's probably the biggest challenge for a lot of people because I'm not special in any way at all, is what is considered value to a client in an email versus no value?
Such a good question.
Like real value, not just, you know what I mean, blank value and something like an ebook, which is a self-serving piece of value. Does that make sense?
Well, it can be. Depends on the ebook.
Like if you like.
Yeah, so it could be, right? Could be self-serving, could not be. So I'll give you my thoughts, but and I almost never say this, my thoughts really don't mean anything. The only mind space that means anything is your customer, and I go by engagement. If we're getting lots of clicks, if we're getting lots of responses, if we're getting lots of shares and buzz, then they have spoken and they're saying, this is a value. I want more of this. If it's dead, they don't click on what you tell them to click on. They don't share. They don't forward. They don't respond. It's just like radio silence. You probably have not hit a nerve. One of the ways to engage is to talk with your customers, involve them. So first and foremost, especially if you've already got a nice list, one of the emails I would send is, hey, we're taking a survey. We want to make sure we bring lots of value to your life. What would you like to see more of in these emails? And then you tell them, everybody that responds to this email, what I'll give you is everybody's answers. So if I email back, hey, I want to hear more about OSHA and MSDS sheets, or, you know, I'm just trying to pick something random. I know if I respond back to you, I'm going to get an email in a week once you've compiled that data and said, hey, here's the top five answers. And I can kind of, you know, we're all curious as to how we fit into the pockets. Oh, no one was interested in that. They were more interested in that. So all that to say, the higher the engagement, the better you're probably connecting with your audience. And a great way to engage is to take a survey. And the best topic for that survey, or a good topic for that survey, is what you guys want to see more of. So again, I'm happy to wax poetic as what I think your customers would like, but the best experts on that would be your customers.
Okay.
Cool.
Sounds perfect. Let's start with a survey.
Yeah. So that, yeah, you can always ask a survey because they'll engage. And once you do that survey, and you can have fun surveys and you can have serious surveys. So a serious survey is like what we talked about. A fun survey might just be like, gosh, and it depends on, I know hockey's probably a big deal up there. If it's time for the World Cup, we might, or not World Cup, if it's playoff time, you can email out, hey, who's this kind of a fan? Who's that kind of a fan? And again, you want to have a good mix. If it's always just silly and fun stuff, they're not going to connect with you properly. And if it's always just business, they're not going to connect with you properly either. All right, I've got a bunch more we could do, but we are heading off the edge in terms of time. And I want to make sure that I give Pete an opportunity to go to the lightning round, because I'm looking forward to his answers. And it'll be fun to kind of compare these to I don't know what you said last time. I'm sure you don't remember either. So after you give them, I'm going to have to go back and see if it's changed. Three quick questions, three amazing answers. Question number one, Pete, what's the best piece of advice you've ever received, personally or professionally?
It was probably this weekend, last weekend when I was in 10X Growth Con in Miami. It was about core values, making sure that every single person in your company matches your core values. to make sure that everybody's in sync versus, you know what I mean, hiring people based on skill possibly, but that don't match your business values and your values, which will create friction.
Yes, yes, 1,000 times yes. Couldn't agree more. Question two, what's the biggest mistake you've made in the cleaning business that maybe we can learn from some of your missteps?
Thinking staying small was the best thing to do to service our clients. Oh. We should have went big, fast, adding more people in to service our clients better.
Great point. I love that, the strategic thinking behind that. All right, last question. What's one idea that Cleaning Nation could put into practice right away, something easily implementable to improve their lives and their business, and or their business, sorry?
Daily phone calls with managers to make sure that they're upbeat, energetic, and know what they're doing for the night.
Great, great point. I'll give you a couple of resources for that. Patrick Lencioni has a book called Death by Meeting. That's awesome if you want to know how to do that. And then Vern Harnish in his book Rockefeller Habits has a good outline in terms of the daily huddle and how to kind of not get killed by meetings and still have them be effective. So I'll make sure I put those in the show notes for anyone that wants them. Pete, thank you so much for joining us. Thank you for sharing your passion, your growth, all the good stuff that you've got going on up there in Canada. I appreciate you. I know the Cleaning Nation appreciates you. If you want to check out Pete's show notes page and discover everything you need to grow your cleaning company, it's at growmycleaningcompany.com. Leave your questions, your comments, your rude remarks. I will see you there.
Congratulations. You are now 16% smarter. Still can't get enough cleaning goodness? Go to www.growmycleaningcompany.com for more of the good stuff. Ever want to be rich and famous? Owners of cleaning companies as well as industry experts can apply to be featured on the show by emailing our producer Natalie at support@growmycleaningcompany.com. Until then, don't miss out on all the latest cleaning industry lovin' at www.growmycleaningcompany.com. Check it out now.